Sunday morning, Ask the Mayor, with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. I guess this question was answered on Thursday's board meeting. Sir, from Facebook, why was the word sidewalks taken off the mask signs?
When the governor came out with his order requiring masks, and I will take responsibility primarily for this, I interpreted that language meaning if you're outdoors and you're in a confined space, you still have to wear a mask. My interpretation of that was that on our sidewalks that are less than 6 feet with crowded shoppers, there's no way to socially distance, so the mask requirement would apply. I'd misinterpreted that governor's order and that actually we didn't have any legal recourse to enforce a sidewalk mask requirement. Over the last few days, we have observed, and some of the people that work downtown have observed, that in fact people tended to not wear masks on the sidewalks, and it is a very big concern. Last night we had a business person, Richard Delaney, come and make an impassioned request that we consider requiring masks on the sidewalks. The board had the legal recourse to simply amend our current state of emergency requiring that masks be worn on sidewalks. Commissioner Patterson made a motion to require that on sidewalks people wear a mask in our business and commercial areas. Our town attorney said that we certainly could do that and it would be a legal ordinance. All the commissioners voted that we require people wearing a mask on all the sidewalks in the commercially zoned areas of the town. You do not have to wear a mask, for example, in Founders Park. If you are socially distancing and doing exercise, you do not have to wear a mask. If you are on a neighborhood sidewalk in town, for example, if you're going down 5th Street or 6th Street where there's no commercial activity and you're socially distancing with your neighbors, you do not have to wear a mask. It's only where we get into those crowded situations in commercial zones that we'll expect people to be wearing a mask. We are in a national crisis, county crisis, a state crisis, and yes, a local crisis. I fully support and appreciate the leadership that the commissioners of the town of Highlands have taken.
We caught some word that there were a couple of deaths recorded locally.
Commissioner Haynes brought that up at our meeting on Thursday night. My information was that we only have one death recorded. We followed up and talked with Warren Cabe of Emergency Management, and he was also unsure of that. He said, yes, there have been some deaths of people who had resided in Macon County, but when they passed away, they weren't really in the county. We've also heard that the hospitals have recorded some deaths, but what I go by is what the county public health folks send to us. I have some of the latest results. As of Thursday evening, we had 372 identified cases in Macon County. We've done over 3,600 tests. If you look at that, it's about a 10% positivity rate, about 119 active cases, about 252 at that time that had recovered. And then in Highlands, we were running about 22% of the cases versus the rest of the county makes up the other cases that have taken place. 17 and younger, 24%. That's very sobering to me, especially as we go to open up the schools. And then 18 to 24, those are our college-age students mostly, 16%. So between the from 24 on down, we have about, I hate to say it, about 40% of the cases. I had a conversation with Stephanie McCall, who is on the Macon County Board of Education. Please convey to the school leadership, and she was about to go into a big planning meeting, that the town of Highlands is prepared to assist the school system any way we can. Specifically, I think they're going to have a real challenge with social distancing and providing Wi-Fi and everything to the high school students. We have things like our Highlands Community Center that could be used by the schools or part of the recreation facility. The town of Highlands is prepared to do anything we possibly can to help them open up the schools. I've communicated this to the Board of Commissioners, and they, of course, agree that we will do whatever we can to help out the schools. And I hope everybody in the community, the nonprofit groups, the churches, if there's any way we can help the school system open up and operate safely at the beginning of this school year, we must do it.
And I think the teachers should be protected, too.
They're going to be on the front line, and we have to be concerned that the teachers and the staff, they will be exposed to the virus more so than many of us that can just shelter in place at home. So they're doing a real outstanding service to this community by going back to school and teaching these young people.
Yeah, before we get to what happened in the town board meeting, Wednesday's Bear Task Force prohibiting feeding of bears. Won't you elaborate on that?
We have a committee of commissioners, Commissioner Patterson and Commissioner Hain, who's on the Wildlife and Bear Committee that I created. We also invited Cynthia Strain of the Bear Task Force. We had our town manager, Josh Ward, and Mike Mathis, our planner. And then Ashley Hobbs, who is in charge of the BearWise program for the North Carolina Department of Wildlife Resources. Well, if somebody's having an issue with a bear, how do we respond to that? What information would the Bear Task Force provide? And what kind of enforcement action or response would the town provide? And then we did look at the idea of drafting an ordinance that would prohibit the feeding of bears. And what we mean by that, the willful feeding of the bears. I anticipate at our August meeting, the full board will be presented with a proposed ordinance for prohibiting the feeding of bears in the town. There's not a state law against feeding of bears. Second of all, we have been getting reports, and I've even gone online and seen this, where VRBO promoters are actually telling people to throw their dinner food out in the front yards so the bears will come up and eat it and they can see a bear while they're in Highlands. That is reckless, irresponsible, and we need a prohibition, an ordinance that says, no, you cannot do that.
And since we're talking about bears, the big issue was about the bear-resistant toter. Time to get it.
We passed last year at our August meeting that everybody in a residential area would have to convert over to a bear-resistant toter. We had meetings. We had a mayor's coffee where the North Carolina wildlife people came and we had a discussion. They came to the town board again at the August meeting of last year. We passed an ordinance that you'd have to have a bear-resistant toter with the idea that people would have a year to make that purchase, which is several hundred dollars. There's been kind of a rush right now on the purchase of toters. Decision of the board was to continue expecting people to purchase that toter by August 1st. With that said, we will start informing people by putting a red tag on their door after the 1st of August that you need to get a toter. We will delay enforcement of this ordinance until we see that the backlog of toters has been eliminated. There are two reasons that motivated the board to pass this ordinance. One, we need to address the bear problem in Highlands, which I will say our current actions like the street cans on Main, the toters in the commercial areas have really made a difference with bear interactions in town. But more than that, it is time to upgrade and modernize the way we collect trash in Highlands, North Carolina. The big difference is we have people right now, our sanitation workers, who are lifting 35 and 45 gallon trash cans a day, and that takes a toll on their body and their back. If nothing else, it will help our individual sanitation workers be more effective on the job. Some people say, well, why didn't you just buy this for everyone? It would have been about $1 million. We don't make any money on sanitation collection as it is. It's something that we're struggling to keep going. We would have to significantly raise the rates in the residential area. And I know people don't want to do this. We want to keep those rates as low as possible. Lamar Nix and our staff will be coming up and announcing a recycling program in the near future where you can let us know about your old trash cans and we will collect them and recycle them.
I know you want to address the farm annexation that was covered, of course, on Thursday's meeting, the 26 acres.
They made that request. We had a presentation by Michael Mathis, our planner, the board voted to have a public hearing for the August meeting concerning two things. One, the annexation of that property by Old Edwards. And then the other hearing will be for a zoning request for it to be zoned B3 conditional. In other words, if you annex a piece of property, you have to zone it. And the staff has recommended the appropriate zoning would be B3, which is a light business zone. Attached to that would be conditional zoning, which means that if OEI a few years from now wanted to add on, expand, or whatever, they'd have to come back to the board and go through the review process for a conditional permit.
And also, you covered the budget amendment for the water capital projects and shovel ready for the Fed money. That could be coming our
way. That's right. There's a national organization called the Water Flow Association, and they have been advocating that with this impending stimulus money, additional stimulus money, that infrastructure needs to be addressed, especially critical water projects for municipalities and counties. I signed a letter, an endorsement, that many of the mayors in North Carolina signed on behalf of the Water Flow Association, and it went to Congress saying, if you appropriate infrastructure stimulus money, please earmark a substantial amount for water projects. We've been working with an engineering firm, Withers and Robinell. They're experts in getting federal and state grants to do those kind of projects. The federal government will be allocating substantial funds for needed water projects. And we've got a number of water projects and upgrades that need to be done on Dog Mountain and other places, on Moorwood Drive. We need water clarifier upgrades. We, as a board did on Thursday night, was to approve a budget amendment to where we can start getting these projects, if you will, shovel ready, to where if that federal money comes available, we can just hand in our grant and say, here are our preliminary plans. We're trying to get in a strategic position to be ready to start those projects if the funds become available. That is not a waste of money if we don't get the grants. Kind of a proactive process. I think it's a good investment to be ready, because if we don't get those federal stimulus dollars, I guarantee you some of my colleagues, mayors in other municipalities, they'll be happy to take that money and spend it.
Next week, we're going to get a personal look at our new police chief, Andrea Holland. Looking forward to that.
I think that's going to be a great program. I hope everybody will tune in.